Cover, The New Creation, A Helping Hand for Bible Students. Title Page, Studies in the Scriptures. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Series 6, The New Creation, 423,000 edition. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him so no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. International Bible Students Association, Brooklyn, London, Melbourne, Barmen, Elberfeld, Orebro, Christiania, 1917. Copyright page. Copyright 1904, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Brooklyn, New York, USA. Written in 1904 by Pastor Russell. Dedicatory page. To the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the interest of his consecrated saints, waiting for the adoption, and of all that in every place call upon the Lord, the household of faith, and of the groaning creation, travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, this work is dedicated. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things under Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 9. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. N.B. This volume can be supplied in the German language, also in Swedish, magazine size, cloth, $1.50 postpaid. Foreword. The New Creation, the author's foreword. Much of the work of every servant of God is done in the dark. That is to say, like the weaver of a beautiful carpet, we stand at the back, seeing little of the results of our labors, and trusting that in the Lord's due time, we shall hear his well done and see some fruitage. I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Nevertheless, the Lord has very graciously given us encouragement in respect to the influence of this volume, in various parts of the world, in the hearts of God's people. The pleasure has been ours of hearing from many respecting the blessings received from a better understanding of the justification, the sanctification, and the deliverance promised to the church in God's Word. Many others have told us of the blessings received from the scriptural advice given to husbands and wives, parents and children, in respect to the ways of peace, righteousness, and growth in grace. Many also have informed us of great blessings and aid in respect to the duties, privileges, and obligations of elders and deacons, and the scriptural order in the ecclesia. We rejoice in these things and trust that the good work will go on under divine guidance to the praise of our Lord and for the comfort and edification of his people. We call attention to the fact that since this volume was written, the light has grown still clearer respecting God's great covenants. We now see that the law covenant was a foreshadowing of the new law covenant, which is about to be established at the second coming of Jesus by the great mediator, Jesus the head, and the church his body, the antitype of Moses, who wrote, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from amongst your brethren, like unto me." Moses was merely the type of this greater prophet, and the law covenant which Moses mediated was merely a type or foreshadowing of the greater law covenant of the millennial age. God raised up Jesus, the head of this great mediator, first, when he raised him from the dead. Since that time, he is raising up the church as a new creation, and when all the brethren of the body of Christ shall have been gathered from the world through a knowledge of the truth, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and been found worthy by faithfulness unto death, and all shall have been raised up by the power of God from the earthly conditions to the heavenly conditions as the body of Christ, the great antitypical Melchizedek will be complete, a priest upon his throne. The great mediator of the new covenant will be enthroned in divine power. Then the new covenant will go into operation, as God said to Israel, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The antitypical mediator, after paying over to divine justice fully and forever the ransom price for Adam and his race, will assume full control, and under that new covenant thus sealed, will begin the work of blessing and restoring all the willing and obedient of Adam's race. All who will come into harmony with the Lord will be counted as part of the earthly seed of Abraham, until finally, by the end of the millennium, all exercising faith and obedience will be known to the Lord as the seed of Abraham. In becoming that seed, shall all the families of the earth bless themselves. Inadvertently, the name New Covenant, which belongs to God's dealings with the world during the millennium, has been used in respect to the covenant which is now in operation during this gospel age with the church. Our covenant, of course, is a new covenant in the sense that it is different from the Jewish covenant of Mount Sinai, but it is not the new covenant. The church's covenant is referred to in the Bible as a covenant by sacrifice. The keeping of these matters in mind will be of benefit to the readers of this volume. All of these covenants stand related to each other. All of them were represented and typified in Abraham and the covenant which God made with him. The church is styled Abraham's spiritual seed and likened to the stars of heaven. The world of mankind, as they come into harmony with God, will become Abraham's earthly seed, as the sands of the seashore. The spiritual seed will be the channel of blessing for the natural seed. The subject of justification has not changed, but it has expanded and clarified. If writing this volume today, the author would make some slight variations of language, but without any real change as respects the meaning and application of the word justification. We now see that a justification to life is one thing, and a justification to more or less of friendship with God is another. Abraham, for instance, and the faithful before Pentecost were justified to friendship with God and to have more or less communication with him by prayer, etc. But they could not have full justification until the blood of atonement had been shed and until it had been presented to and accepted by divine justice, the Father. Just so, the sinner today, approaching God, might be said to be in the way of justification. He would have more of God's favor than if he faced toward sin. We once spoke of a sinner in this condition as being justified because he believed in Jesus as his Redeemer and was reaching forward to a full consecration of himself. Now we see that while the sinner's attitude, like that of the ancient worthies, might be styled tentative justification, it would not reach the condition of a full, complete justification from sin until the sinner had fully presented himself in consecration to our great high priest, Jesus, and had been accepted of him in the name of the Father. Then, under the covering of the imputed merit of Christ's sacrifice, the sinner would be acceptable to the Father under Christ's robe and begotten of the Holy Spirit. Fortunate it is for the masses who have heard of Jesus and partially believed that their standing with the Lord is not that of full justification, that he refuses to fully justify any until they have become, by covenant, his disciples, his footstep followers. This is because justification can come only once to each individual, and if he should misuse that justification and fail to get eternal life, he would be in a worse state than if he had never been justified. If not justified and spirit begotten in the present time, he is not of the church, but will have a share in the merit of Christ's sacrifice and in the justification which his kingdom will offer to every member of the human family, aside from the church receiving that better thing which God hath in reservation for them that love him, glory, honor, immortality, the divine nature. To many, it would not seem worthwhile to mention these fine distinctions upon the subject of justification. And yet, having received this clear appreciation of the divine plan, we have pleasure in passing it on to all who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to all Bible students everywhere. May the Lord continue to bless this volume to the good of His people is the prayer of the author, Charles T. Russell, Brooklyn, New York, October 1, 1916. For the sake of historical interest, the original preface from the 1904 edition, the 26,000 edition of the New Creation, will now be read. Preface. This, the sixth volume of the Millennial Dawn series, joins its predecessors with the author's fervent prayers that it may be owned and used of the Lord in the ripening of the wheat class, preparing the Lord's consecrated ones for the wonderful change of the first resurrection, for which we are waiting, striving to make our calling and election sure. Other features of the Lord's work have retarded this volume beyond our desires and expectations. Yet we are inclined to view even this as a part of the Lord's providence, to permit a thorough reading and digesting of the preceding volumes. Our Lord, referring to the harvest time of this age, and His provision for the peculiar needs of His people in this day of His presence, this day of strenuous activity in all directions, promised that He would send forth to His people meat in due season, things new and old, Luke chapter 12, verses 37 through 42. That the preceding volumes have corresponded to this description is testified by thousands of welcome letters from all parts of the earth, which tell of nourishment and strength thus supplied by the Lord most opportunely, at a time when, without it, their spiritual growth would have been stunted, if not entirely checked. Our earnest hope is that the present volume may be no less helpful than the others in this respect. Nay, more, we trust that the greater faith and hope and love, the increase of character development, may have so built up our readers, so quickened their spiritual perceptions, so sharpened their spiritual appetites, that even the old things of God's Word, the old truths, may have a new and appetizing flavor, and be appropriated to their still further spiritual health and strength. On every hand, we see the gulf widening between those few who hold to God's Word and those many who, under the lead of higher criticism, endeavor to make void the divine revelation, and are merely refined and polite rationalists, infidels. Thus, every day we learn to appreciate more and more the divine favor which has anointed the eyes of our understanding and permitted us to see the internal strength and beauty of the divine word and plan. If then we are thus, by divine favor, made strong in the Lord and enabled to stand fast while thousands on every hand are falling from their faith and steadfastness, Psalm 91, verse 7, let us rejoice with fear, reverence. Let him who feels strong and well supported be not high-minded, but take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Humility and zeal for the Lord are the terms upon which we received the great blessing, and are also the terms upon which we may retain it to the end, until our change comes and fixes in glory what grace began in our weakness. Every reader of this volume who receives a blessing through it has a proportionate responsibility, not only to strive to live up to his highest conception of the divine will, but also to extend these helping hands to others. Thus many, all over the world, are fellow servants with the author in distributing the meat in due season, things new and old, to the household of faith. We still, however, advise that Volume 1 of the series be chiefly circulated amongst the newly awakened brethren. The plan of the ages must be discerned before the other good things of the Father's Word can be properly relished and appropriated. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, of which so many of our readers are members by voluntary contributions, is doing everything possible to supply the growing demand for this volume, of which over 1 million copies are now in the hands of the public. The recently issued 5-cent edition makes possible a still further dissemination of present truth and may possibly arouse keener opposition. We trust that, under divine providence, the lessons of this sixth volume may qualify and strengthen the Lord's faithful to do and bear patiently and even joyfully whatever loyalty to the Lord and His Word and His people may cost. Very truly, your brother and servant in Christ, C.T. Russell, and it's his signature that appears here. Allegheny, Pennsylvania, December 1903.